Now we have David Grimm, the editor for our daily news site. He's here to talk about some recent online stories. I'm Sarah Crespi. First up, we have a story on tracking blue whales. Researchers have been tracking the movements of the world's largest animals, blue whales, using satellites, and the research is beginning to bear fruit. Dave, when did we start tracking these big guys?
Researchers started looking at them in 1993, and the reason they were curious is nobody hunts blue whales anymore. Some countries hunt other types of whales, but despite the protections that have been put on blue whales, they haven't recovered the same way that other whale species have, and that's been a big mystery. And that's part of the reason researchers started tracking them about two decades ago. They're specifically looking at a population of whales called the North Pacific population. This is about 2,500 individuals.
When they decided to follow the whales, one of the reasons was because their population wasn't on the rebound. How do their numbers look overall worldwide?
There's about 10,000 of them worldwide.
And this study seems to show that blue whales are being killed in ship collisions. How big of a problem is this?
Well, that's one of the things the researchers found. They found that the whales that they followed, which is about 171 whales, that every summer they returned to what are called upwelling zones off Santa Barbara and San Francisco. And these places of the ocean produce masses of krill, which the whales rely on for their diet. But these same areas are also crossed by major shipping lanes. And the researchers noted that in the past, there's been a lot of incidents of whales being struck and often killed by ships in this area. And they sort of put two and two together, and that leads them to believe that one of the big reasons these whale populations have not recovered is that a lot of them are being hit by ships.
And they're actually able to examine the bodies of some of these whales.
Yeah, for example, in 2007, there were at least five blue whales killed by ship strikes near California's Channel Islands. One of the researchers on the study actually looked at one of these deceased whales, and she said it had this huge hematoma. It was clearly from a massive blunt force trauma, the kind that would be inflicted by a ship.
These are 100-foot-long mammals running into ships. This can't be good for the ships either. Is there an option to move them out of the way?
There's actually been efforts in the past, successful efforts. For example, in the Bay of Fundy off the Atlantic coast of North America, channels were actually moved so that the ships wouldn't come into contact with the whales. And in that case, it seemed to actually reduce the ship strikes by about 80%. So in this new study, the researchers are actually arguing for changing shipping lanes off the Channel Islands and also off San Francisco as a way to reduce whale deaths there.
Next up, we have a story on cancer rates. Since the 1970s, biologists have been wondering, why do small animals like mice and rats get cancer so much more often than large animals like people? The answer may well be how many viral genomes have integrated into their DNA. So Dave, how does this work? What kind of viruses are these, and what are they doing in their host genomes?
Well, these are called endogenous retroviruses, or ERVs. And part of their life cycle involves them integrating into the host DNA. Now, obviously, that's going to cause some problems. A lot of cancers are actually spurred by DNA basically getting mucked up. And that's sometimes what you have happen when a virus like this integrates into the DNA.
The writer brings in this idea that you have more cells and you live longer as a person than a mouse. So it seems like a larger animal would be more susceptible to viruses. How do the numbers line up between, say, how many viruses are integrated into people versus into mice?
It's really the opposite of what you'd expect. Larger animals, such as humans, even dolphins, have far fewer of these ERVs in their genomes than do smaller animals like mice. For example, mice have more than 3,000 of these viral sequences in their cells, according to this new study, whereas dolphins have just 55, humans have about 348.
Could there be an evolutionary explanation for this? Why are larger animals fending off these viruses better than smaller animals?
Well, that seems to be the explanation for this paradox, also known as Peto's paradox, after the researcher that first observed it. But the idea would be that larger animals need to live longer. Larger animals tend to reproduce later. And if they're getting killed off by these viruses early in their life cycle, then evolutionarily, that's not great. So from an evolutionary perspective, they need to find a way to fight off these viruses much more aggressively than potentially smaller animals that reproduce faster and younger. And that may be why humans, dolphins, and the larger animals have a lot less of these ERVs and potentially lower rates of cancer as well.
But humans still do get cancer. How does this information help with human health?
Well, it just gives us another thing to look for when it comes to figuring out what some of the causes of cancer are. And this is obviously because it's such a big cancer cause in some of these other animals, could be an important factor for people to look at for humans as well.
Lastly, we have an update on a recent story. 2 weeks ago, we talked about an uncontacted tribe in Brazil that actually made voluntary contact with the outside world. And this week, we have an update on their status. Right, Dave?
Right, Sarah. And one of the things we talked about a couple of weeks ago was this big fear that when these villagers came in contact with the outside world, that they would contract potentially fatal diseases. And unfortunately, that looks like that may have happened. In a new development, researchers have found that a few of the individuals that did make contact with the outside world appear to have come down with influenza. Now, influenza isn't that bad for the rest of us. It's just the flu, and most of us can fight that off. But these are people that have absolutely no exposure to this virus. And when similar things have happened in the past with other tribes, it's been a tragic situation.
This was actually a really big fear going into this. Were there any of the tribe's people vaccinated?
They were vaccinated after they came in contact with some of the government officials from Brazil. The problem is the tribe disappeared back into the forest shortly after they were vaccinated. And the concern is that they could still potentially spread the virus to their fellow tribespeople.
There's a possibility they'll bring the infection back to their village. Do we know much about why they left and what their village was like?
We don't know a whole lot, though it's possible they were fleeing illegal loggers, cocaine traffickers. There's a lot of nefarious activity happening in this part of the world. And what happens is when these loggers or these drug dealers come in, they tend to attack the villagers.
So what are the next steps here? Are they going to try to follow up with the village, vaccinate more people? What are they going to do?
Well, this is still a developing story, and we hope to have another update on the site this week.
Okay, so what else is on the site this week, Dave?
Well, Sarah, we've got a slideshow about Earth's vanishing animals. Also a story about how feathers were more widespread among dinosaurs than we thought. For Science Insider, our policy blog, we've got an item about why NASA wants to take a closer look at Jupiter's icy moon, Europa. Also a story about how to make the food pyramid more environmentally friendly. So be sure to check out all these stories on the site.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Sarah.
David Grimm is the editor for our online daily news site. I'm Sarah Crespi. You can check out the latest news and the policy blog, Science Insider, at news.sciencemag.org. This segment is part of the Science Podcast. You can hear the whole show on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and the Science website, www.sciencemag.org.